Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
After 3 days of testing in Bahrain, we've got new liveries, new car concepts, and the same old result for Red Bull. Welcome to Grid Talk. Today we are here to preview and discuss the opening round of the 2024 Bahrain Grand Prix. My name is Owen Medford, and joining me today we have Grid Talk and Formula Talk co-host Tom Downey.
Hello, sir. How are you?
And an inflection that doesn't need to be there. But before we get into the episode, we must thank our sponsor for this episode, Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. Bet Online continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use promo code BLEAV, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's BLEAV. Bet Online, where the game starts. Now, Tom, we're going to go back to front. Not necessarily in terms of speed, because we can't really read too much into that. As we always say, we're testing. You know, that it's entirely possible that they were running with 110 kilos of fuel in the car or more. And obviously there's the various sort of sensor paraphernalia, which according to various sources can be up to sort of 20 kilos, as this is just testing, and it is testing not just for Bahrain. This isn't an extended practice session for the teams. This is to understand their cars going for every single circuit we're going to and all of the different weather conditions that we'll be running in the dry, at least. And what I've gathered so far is that Alpine, having lost Alain Permain, who was, you know, expected to be there basically until he retired, you know, amongst other things, has just seemed to have taken a walk backwards. I don't know how much of testing you actually saw, but they don't look quite right. They haven't done that much in terms of kilometers of testing. They are eighth out of 10 teams for the amount of laps that they've run. It just doesn't look promising, does it?
No.
And for a team that walked into sport with his arm sort of held out like he was some buff bodybuilder, saying, you know, 5 years, we're going to be winning this and that. No, hon, you've won one race, and that was three seasons ago. Alpine, they've just, something like fundamentally needs to change, because even the livery was like a bad omen for that team, because we all looked at him and went, and then the car's gone out on track, and it's just been, it just looks a bit cumbersome, a bit slow, and just, like you said, obviously we don't know about testing programs, but yeah, so we don't know. They could have been like practicing for Monaco for 3 days straight and running like max downforce or something with, you know, like 100 kilos of fuel or whatever. But it's the whole team just, it seems so dysfunctional at the moment. And they've got two decent drivers, you know, both of whom won in junior formulas. You know, obviously Gasly won GP2, Ocon won, I think Ocon won GP3 the year Gasly won GP2, I'm pretty sure they were both 2016. And yeah, you know, it's just a bit, you know, it's hard to even find the words for them. You mentioned obviously Alain Permain has gone. They gave Altmar the boot last year as well, and he seems to turn into an Instagram influencer. And
wait, hold on, has he?
Honestly, right, Altmar's Instagram post. I don't follow Instagram that much these days. But he looks like someone just let their dad loose on Instagram.
Does he pretend to go on a private jet that he doesn't own?
Oh, no. He's not a day trader or whatever they're called. The whole sort of like Renault Sport Alpine, whatever they're called these days, outfit. If I refer to them as Renault, it's not me being difficult. It's just I'm so used to calling them Renault. You know, that sometimes I do inadvertently call them that. I hate your top, by the way. For benefit of audio listeners, I'm wearing an England rugby shirt, which is disgusting.
But for the benefit of those of you who don't know where this is being recorded, it's 25 minutes before the next rugby game in the Six Nations.
So, yeah.
Just date it.
Yeah, let's just be thankful that it's not before the England-Wales game. I think it's in 2 weeks' time. But yeah, no, jokes aside, Alpine, yeah, they're just in an odd place, and I've not got much confidence in them for this season. You know, I think they're going to need, well, I think they're going to need a miracle or something to sort of get a good result. But mind you, last year in Bahrain, you know, they had an absolute stinker at the start of the season. Yeah, you know, because Ocon was, you know, doing his was getting all the penalties, and Gasly had a shoddy qualifying, and then had mechanical issues, retired. So, you know, who knows? You know, they might have a slow start to the season. But I'm just not holding out much hope for Alpine, to be honest.
It just doesn't look good, does it? It's like,
yeah, it doesn't, mate.
No, okay, I know this is the weirdest way you have to look. Not the weirdest, but the way you have to look at it a lot of the time is you just have to kind of go, does it look right? And the question is, and the answer is no. I think that, you know what, I'm gonna go on a limb here and say that the most successful thing about Alpine's running was that they didn't blow up at any point. That's, I mean, but we've seen that with all the cars. And to be quite honest, you know, Alpine obviously had a number of issues last year. I think to be quite honest, a lot of it is going to be due to the fact that the teams this year have developed their engines reliability wise for a proposed change to go down to two power units for the entire year.
They're not going to get past Saudi.
No. You don't know that. They might make it. But no, I reckon, you know, it's two power units for each year. Obviously, two of every component you can use on a rotating basis, depending on how you sort of set it up and configure it with your pool of parts. But that hasn't happened, so they haven't dropped it down to two. It's now going to be, it's still three, but the teams will have worked on two. So, you know, you could get an enterprising team and decides to use the more power modes. But no one seems to have done that. Haas, for example, has completed the most running of testing at 441 laps. Is that a sign of good things to come? I mean, obviously, they've just lost their team principal. Aya Komatsu, no relation to the Williams sponsor, has not had particularly long in the job. So, I you can't pin anything on this. Honestly, just bulletproof reliability. But I just can't. Can you? Is there something I'm missing here, mate? Because like, I'm looking at the Haas and just going, "This is poor."
What? Yeah, mate. The issue, right, with the Haas is, as we saw last year, it was all right in body specs, certainly in Hulkenberg's hands. I mean, you know, Magnussen, questionable to say the least. And I think Hulk has proved that he is a better driver than certainly people like myself give him credit for, but in race pace, the car was so bad on its tyres, especially its rear tyres. You know, we saw it just dropping like a stone through the order. And because, you know, quite often qualified, you know, in the top 10, you know, he put it on, I think, the second row in Canada. And I saw, you know, maybe the third row or something. And, you know, we saw this with him in 2022. And it's just that I've read somewhere that they have apparently sacrificed testing, or certainly given a large part of testing to get there, just understand that how their car is so heavy on its tyres. No, because there must be a fundamental setup issue. You know, the car must not be, you know, set up correctly at the rear. And if Haas can't get that under control, I think they'll be all right. I think they'll have an all right season. But I just worry that they're going to be spending this season just at least understanding that. I think Haas definitely needs a change, because Gunther has done a lot of good things in F1. He's been at that team since 2016, and they had sort of slowly progressively gone backwards. You know, they peaked in, and they came in with a sort of, you know, bit of a, a bit of fanfare in 2016. They peaked in 2018. Then 2019 was sort of like a... and then 2020 was, no, 2021, the less said the better. 2022 was the, oh, actually, we might be okay. Then 2023 was, no, we're not. And 2024 is going to be mummy help. So, you know, that's my expert analysis on Haas's ride in F1 so far.
I'm going to say something a lot meaner, which is that I think that Haas's entire value is due to the fact that it has an F1 entry.
They came in saying, oh, we're the American F1 team. They're like, yeah, but you've got the base in Maranello, which fair enough for the engine stuff, because obviously they're Ferrari affiliated. But they've then got a base in Banbury and Oxfordshire, then they've got a base in Canapolis. And it's just like, it's so spread out, you know, that operation. You either need to commit to being a US team, like Andretti, who, you know, the cheek of Haas to say, I would ruin the competition of the sport. Mate, who are you competing with? Competing with yourselves and your own tyres. Give it a rest. So it's just, you know, the Haas, I just don't know. I mean, I'd like to see them sort of like get back up there, because I certainly did quite like Haas, but they've got to a point now where it's sort of just like, we, especially on these shows, we just go, oh yeah, they qualified and then they fell down the order like a stone and finished P16 and P18. That's what we seem to do.
To be honest with you, I think that's the biggest thing as well, is that, yeah, looking forward to the race weekend, I looking at their race, you know, just borrowing off, you know, the analysis done by the official F1 website on this, and they are poorest in race simulation pace, and they are poorest in qualifying simulation pace. So they're going to start last, and you can't. And luckily, they're not going to drop down the order, but that's only because they're going to be, you know, I guess being lapped just immediately. I mean, obviously, you know, it's going to throw up some big questions, and obviously we were doing this on the track that is hardest on tire wear, but
yeah,
it feels so poor.
It does, doesn't it?
It's just not. I don't know.
It just feels, yeah, just feels off. But Haas are going to Haas, and you know, we'll see what comes about in. Is it next week?
It is next week. It will be like today.
Yeah, it will be like this exact time next week. We'll probably be watching Max Verstappen on the top step.
Yeah, we'll be 18. Well, I think we're. Hold on. I will just check, but I think we'll be 18 laps into the Grand Prix, right?
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Now.
Yeah, well, there's no Grosjean to... In fact, I'm not even going to say that.
Yeah, don't say that, Tom.
Yeah, no, yeah. 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 You know, that's obviously pending no safe as of you, whatever, but... Yes.
Okay, yeah, it's weird because it's going to be so soon. Oh no, sorry. You're right. We will be watching Max Verstappen on the podium. The race starts at 3.
But by this point, he'll have had a couple of bickers with GP, and then he'll be on his way to his however many race, and he'll be extending his own streak of continuous race victories.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think, yeah. I don't really want to think about it, to be honest, because they just look a step ahead. You know, they look like they're having a 5-star time. And similarly, if you could take just 5 minutes, if you're enjoying this podcast, we'd love it if you could take 5 to leave a 5-star rating on Spotify or a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It's kind of ominous, isn't it, how far ahead Red Bull seem to be. We saw them completely update the concept or change it quite significantly. they seem to have come up with some really innovative solution, borrowing from up and down the grid, you know, borrowing from Mercedes, the sort of taking what they can and fully leveraging the fact that they've got the power unit in-house now. You know, obviously they're not building them themselves. I think they're still getting up and running, but clearly there seems to be a lot more of integration between the chassis and the power unit. And it just looks, can you see, I mean, I'll put it this way, can you see anything else but a Red Bull 1-2 on top of the podium?
I think we'll definitely see a Red Bull 1. You know, obviously there are question marks over, you know, the Perez's, you know, like, not question marks over his ability, but if you look at how his season unraveled last season, yeah, we could put question marks over that. You know, the Red Bull is looking imperious, and whether it's going to be a 1-2 or, you know, I think, personally, barring any mechanical issues, I think Max is going to win. You know, everything that we've seen in testing, like we said, we don't know fuel loads, all the rest of it. Apparently Mercedes have been sandbagging a bit from what I've heard. I don't know.
We claimed that the last 2 years. So, quite honestly, the only thing that's changed there is the fact that the car doesn't look as... It looks sorted.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that's a bad way to do it, but it doesn't look as...
But they've not tried to go with the zero side pods concept for a third year in a row, because it had some sort of like promise in 2022. Then 2023, it was just, yeah, wasn't great. And, you know, they've kind of just abandoned it.
I think they thought they'd taken a step at 2022, clearly. 2023 yeah. was... God, and it wasn't even a trial by fire. It was, you know, all the way through every single appeals court of fire.
Yeah, it was.
Really, I think took the wind out of them as Mercedes is being pilfered left and right for other teams' technical departments, as is wont to happen, particularly in a cost cap era. And I think they've really had to come and redo the car from the ground up.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, we're talking about, like, using a bit of Red Bull 1-2. I think if the pace we've seen in testing is to be believed, we could have one of the McLarens up there, you know, either one of them. They're obviously both supreme drivers, those two. We could have either one of the McLarens, either one of the Mercs. Yeah, we could potentially have Alonso up there. Stroll, not so much, I don't think. Let's be realistic. But, you know, Aston Martin definitely sort of seemed to have taking their car as an evolution of last year's car and sort of continued with that kind of pace. You know, they didn't... We're not talking about them in the same light we were talking about them last year, but that's because the performance gains they made between 2022 and 2023 were enormous. So, you know, there are obviously, you know, different, you know, sort of like different sort of ways of looking at it. You know, they're almost like expected by this point to sort of have that kind of pace given the precedent they set from last year. You know, Mercedes... I'm not, you know, being a Red Bull fan, like, whenever I say this, but I do genuinely want to see Mercedes back towards the front, and I want to see McLaren at the front. I don't even really care who it is at the front. I just want to see a title scrap, and even if it's just a sort of occasion where we have like some race weekends in the year when, you know, Red Bull aren't on the pace. Because look at Singapore from last year when obviously they weren't on the pace. You know, they couldn't get the setup right at all. You know, even if we take like 2019, an absolute banger of a season, you know, with lots of different race winners, you know, Mercedes weren't sort of perfect aside from one race weekend that we had with Red Bull last year. And if we get that, you know, it will be an exciting season, because that was part of the issue we had last year. So if the sort of like, I don't like to use the phrase best of the rest, but we need to be realistic and say that, you know, Red Bull are going to be at the top. So if we have Mercedes, McLaren, Aston Martin, Ferrari, you've got to put in there. I'd like to put Alpine in there, but I honestly don't think they will, given what we talked about earlier. So if you look at sort of like P2 to P5 in the constructors, that could change almost on a sort of like weekend-by-weekend basis. I mean, heck, with a sprint weekend, it could change between a Saturday and a Sunday. So, you know, there is the potential there for it to make it a really exciting, not only Grand Prix weekend, but what we've seen in testing, potentially make it a really exciting season.
Yeah, I'm hoping. I think you're right. My hope is that Red Bull have taken this step but kind of after a particularly dominant, you see it go in waves, don't you, really? You sort of, I mean, Red Bull before and Ferrari before them had, you know, it's only really Mercedes that's managed to have dominance and then sort of, I'm not, kind of a consistent level of dominance over the year, over each year of their dynasty sort of thing. Whereas yeah. Red Bull, you know, you had sort of 2010, they didn't have complete dominance. 2011 blew them apart, blew everyone apart. Obviously 2012 goes to the last race, and then 2013 doesn't do that. You know, my thinking is that, you know, maybe Red Bull have sort of not so much peaked, but maybe for where they are now, found the limit of the car concept. Although I could be completely wrong. You know, we could be in a completely new ball game. But I think, yeah, as you say, I think Red Bull. I think Aston maybe are slightly further part of further back. McLaren look happy with their car. Mercedes, as you say, look sorted. You know, I think it's actually quite exciting in some ways because we've got a number of teams who are at the point where they look like they can at least start from a solid starting point and develop their way towards the front. One of those teams who I think has made, actually, you know, we've been talking about a lot of about teams going backwards, apart from Red Bull and obviously Merck, Aston and McLaren, but that was the top half of the table last year. The sort of bottom half of the table that I want to just pick out as we sort of wrap this up and bring this to a close is VCARB. And that's what we're calling them. I'm just going to tell you right now, is VCARB. It's just a little bit easier to say, and to avoid ambiguity, that's why we're saying it that way. I think they've really kind of got, they seem to have really got on top of the car this year. And there's going to be inevitable questions about
borrowed parts or shared parts, from the sister team.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably, I think borrowed parts is probably the best way to do it.
Yeah.
The best way to say that. You know, and obviously there's been a lot of people, so, you know, Zak Brown saying that the rules themselves do allow for the dual ownership of a team by one organisation, but maybe those rules aren't fit for purpose. But unfortunately, but as things stand, they are a legal team. There's that's legal and that's fine, and they're operating clearly within the rules. But they seem to make a proper step, and I think it makes a welcome change from what we saw last year, which was a very, very poor year. And by comparison, we've got, you know, honestly, it looks like we've got a VCARB or a Red Bull B team that looks like it's actually going to be useful to ascertain the performance of drivers, right?
Exactly. And the thing is, that's what that team has always been, you know, because it forever was the Red Bull Junior team. And, you know, the Red Bull, they can call it a sister team, whatever they like, but given, you know, given sort of like the history of what that team has done, you know, so when they call it a driver swap with Gasly and Gasly and Albon, they call it a driver swap with Max and Kvyat, you know, back in 2016. Because Max, I think that was 8 years ago, by the way.
Eight years ago. and it looks like he could be getting his fourth world title. So he's won a title in half of the years he's been in F1.
Yeah, which is insane. Yeah, almost, because don't forget he did 2015.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
I mean, it's still a pretty high percentage, right?
Yeah, it's pretty much, that's a pretty good return on investment, I'd say. But yeah, you know, it's VCARB, I was going to call them, generally, by mistake, I was going to call them AlphaTauri then. First of all, livery, mwah, absolute chef's kiss. I love that livery. It reminds me of the old Toro Rosso, sort of 2017 to 2019 livery. And I really like it, and I'm here for it.
It's good in the daylight, and it looks great under the lights.
Lights, yeah, that sort of like reflective paint, yeah, it looks really good. But yeah, they're definitely like moving in the right direction, because, you know, they had a pretty awful start to 2023, and, you know, it was only sort of the latter half of the year when they really started upgrading the car, which did coincide with Danny Ric coming back in. So, you know, I think if the Rees would have been in that car in the latter half of the year last year, I think he would have been all right. Because, you know, the car did improve a lot, and it lifted itself off the bottom of the standings to, I think, eighth, I want to say. Because they were definitely ahead of Sauber and Haas. Well, Alfa Romeo as well, that's true. It was an interesting time for them last year. And this season, it looks like they've really made a step forward. They've understood the philosophy of the car a lot more. You know, obviously these big sort of like new aero round effects cars that we're in our third season of now. I VCARB, I think they're looking quite confident. And if you look at the history of that team, you know, I'm not talking about when they were Minardi, but I'm talking about sort of like when they're in their Toro Rosso, then AlphaTauri heyday. You know, at some point, you were seeing like both cars in Q3 fairly regularly, and you know, you're seeing fairly consistent points. I'm sure in 2017 or something, they finished like fourth or fifth in the constructors, and you know, that's a real like impressive achievement for a team that's supposedly a junior team. So,
well, wasn't it ever as well funded? But I think you know, maybe that's. I haven't looked at their financial figures, but I imagine it's an awful lot easier to hit to their budget cap when you're backed by Red Bull.
I think that will help.
Yeah. To be fair, I would actually like to see them in Q3 a lot. I think that's probably going to happen more often. They do seem to have the qualifying pace, one lap pace, despite, you know, maybe for someone like the Sauber whacking on a C4 tire that they won't have next week just to do a glory run. That's not to say too much about that. We haven't said much, but to be quite honest with you, over the 3 days of testing, they didn't do much.
Yeah.
You know, they did quite a few laps, but you'd be hard-pressed to see them. You know, it got to the point where I was trying to ascertain whether there was mic interference on the Ferrari-powered cars, and I never got to find out whether it was there on the Ferrari-powered Sauber there. So, yeah. I'm looking forward to next week, starting from the Thursday, to see what the pecking order is actually starting to work out as. Sort of based on that, it's going to be a difficult one to say, but I'm really going to put you on the spot here and then put myself in the same spotlight, Tom. But I'm just thinking, what's your prediction? What's your prediction for the? I'm going to go with the race podium.
I think Max is going to win, Jock. I think we're going to see Lando P2 and Perez P3.
Oh, that's an interesting one.
Yeah.
See, I don't rate Perez highly enough to put him up there, to be quite honest with you.
I had noticed.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is the season that he has to fight for his seat. Straight up. He has to fight for his seat.
His contract is up at the end of the season, isn't it?
Yeah.
He signed a 2-year extension in 2022.
I'm not even going to speculate on how his contract is going to play out. I'd like to see, you know, at least a few wheels turn in anger over the next sort of 57 laps of the Grand Prix weekend. And I think, yeah, I have to agree. I think Max Verstappen is going to be top of the table come the end of it. With the fastest lap point, because of course. Well, you know, he seems sort of built for it. As you know, it's what he wants to do. What he wants to have. I think I'm going to go for Carlos Sainz in second. I think Ferrari. We haven't talked about them very much here, but I think Ferrari seem to be clear second. Unfortunately, I'd love Leclerc, but I don't see him rounding out third. I think I'm going to have to go four. To be honest with you, I'm going to go Oscar Piastri in third.
Okay.
Do you have any bold predictions for us?
All 20 drivers are going to finish the race.
I wouldn't say that's bold, to be quite honest with you. That's fair enough, but I wouldn't say that's bold based on what I've seen.
I'm playing it safe.
Yeah, I'm going to go with a Williams, and you know what? No, because I don't think they're going to get that, quite honestly. I know. A bold prediction. Bold prediction, a V-carb on the podium.
Oh, wow.
Ricciardo on the podium.
Oh, my words.
Go down to the driver.
Imagine.
Starter's mind to go on. To make everything, sort of ruin everything. You seem sort of speechless, Tom, from that one. I'm not going to lie.
Well, yeah. You know, that sort of like went from 0 to 100 real quick.
Yeah, it sounds like the career of, what's his name? Oh, Andrea Kimi Antonelli. Who you can... Yeah. We're going to be hearing a lot about him this year. There's a Mercedes seat up for grabs. And I'm just wondering where could I hear about the things that are going on in the Junior Formulae this year?
Well, funny you should ask, my friend. And thank you for that lovely segue. You can catch anything from Formula Talk, which Sophia and I host when we're not away, that is. Her more than me, to be fair. She's a right international jet setter. And so, you know, I'm here looking after my cat who's in the background. currently fast asleep, which will probably be me this time next week watching the race. But yeah, no, you can, yeah, anything sort of F2, F3, F1 Academy. And we're covering a bit of IndyCar, all that stuff. You can catch that on our new YouTube channel. So that's, if you search for Formula Talk, you'll find us. Then anywhere you listen to Grid Talk, so you know, Spotify, all that lovely stuff, you can find episodes of Formula Talk as well.
Excellent. And if you're one of the 72 people who aren't yet subscribed to the channel, make sure you go and subscribe to the Formula Talk YouTube channel and the Grid Talk YouTube channel, and consider helping us out with a like and subscribe as well. Be sure to follow us on our social channels at Grid Talk UK to stay up to date with the show. That's Grid Talk UK anywhere you see the app. As we've said, Grid Talk is available on YouTube, where most episodes are recorded live, as well as Amazon Fire, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Music, Verbal, and Pocket Casts. Just search Formula One Grid Talk for our back catalogue of shows with previews and reactions to reactions to the races and the race results. Please consider supporting the channel on Patreon so we can get mics, lights, and better recording equipment. Make sure you subscribe so you're the first to know when each new weekly episode is released. We will be back soon with plenty more F1 content right after the first race. Thank you very much for listening to the Grid Talk podcast presented by Bet Online, and goodbye.